Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled out Marley's, Jane. Ah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit bjs.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.
Today in the headlines, the Bureau of Meteorology is forecasting dangerous fire conditions for New South Wales. One Nation leader Pauline Hanson has been censured for wearing a burqa into Parliament, which includes being banned from the Senate for 7 sitting days. Property research group Coality says property prices are far outpacing income, with values reaching record levels. That and more coming up in the news.
The Bureau of Meteorology is forecasting dangerous fire conditions for New South Wales. Catastrophic fire danger is forecast for the lower central west plains, while extreme fire danger is forecast for the Greater Hunter, Greater Sydney region, Illawarra, Shoalhaven, and other parts of the state. Hot and very dry conditions will combine with fresh and strong and gusty west to northwest winds over much of New South Wales on Wednesday. Wind will begin to ease during the evening and shift west to southwesterly over western parts. The families of loved ones who were killed in the Bondi Junction stabbing attack are calling for the perpetrator's psychiatrist, Andrea Boris-Levac, though, to be investigated, after she gave evidence that Joel Colchi was not experiencing psychosis during his rampage in April last year. The state coroner on Tuesday also heard there was a short but crucial time window for the shopping centre's alarm to go off after the incident, which could have impacted one of the victims. 77 seconds is all it took between the radio call from security and when Pikria Dacia was stabbed by Joel Colchi when she bent down to pick up her water bottle. The court also heard Mr. Colchi's experience with schizophrenia went back more than 20 years. An additional $41.8 million of funding for domestic violence helpline 1-800-RESPECT has been announced by the federal government. Established 15 years ago, the service is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and is free to access. In 2023, the service launched an SMS channel followed by video counselling in 2024. In the last financial year, the service received more than 300,000 calls, video calls, online chats and texts. On Tuesday this week, on the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, Social Services Minister Tanya Plibersek says the funding boost recognises the important work carried out by the helpline staff. Asylum seeker and refugee advocates have called on the federal government to be more transparent about the details of its deals to deport immigration detainees to Nauru. Details of the $2.5 billion deal have been scarce since the federal government confirmed the deal in August. The first group members of the so-called NZYQ cohort from Australia have now arrived in Nauru, where they will be given a 30-year visa to stay in the country. Senators David Pocock and David Shoebridge used parliamentary privilege in the Senate to read a translated transcript of a February interview with President of Nauru, David Adang, where he outlines how the deal will operate.
And if over time we find a way to return them home, then of course they will not reach the 30 years, but the visa we're providing them to start is 30 years. It's the same as everyone we brought in during RPC. They can work. We also encourage them to work so they feel like they contribute to our community. Nothing will be stopping them. But they will have a 30-year visa rather than the shorter visas. That's the only difference. Otherwise, they're also the subject to the laws of Nauru. If they break the laws of our home, they will follow our normal legal process.
One Nation leader Pauline Hanson has been censured for wearing the burqa into Parliament, which includes being banned from the Senate for 7 sitting days. This comes after Ms. Hanson wore a burqa into Parliament on Monday. After the stunt, Foreign Minister Penny Wong put forward a motion that the One Nation leader be suspended from the Senate for 7 sitting days. Ms. Hansen now alleges that the Senate is denying her the right to introduce a private member's bill to ban the burqa. She says that allowing her to move her private member's bill, debate the issue and put it to vote is at the heart of democracy.
My position on banning the burqa, and I still stand strong by that, if they really believed in what they were saying, they didn't want to ban the burqa, yet they denied me the right to wear it on the floor of Parliament. There is no dress code on the floor of Parliament, yet I'm not allowed to wear it.
Queensland local councils are lobbying the federal government to put more funding towards tackling the outbreak of fire ants in the state. The Invasive Species Council says economic modelling shows the outbreaks in Queensland and northern New South Wales could cost Australia over $2 billion annually if the spread is not contained. Queensland's Primary Industries Minister Tony Perrott joined the delegation of regional mayors at Parliament House in Canberra to call for action ahead of the Brisbane 2032 Olympic and Paralympic Games. He says the federal government should match the state's $24 million funding commitment for suppression efforts and also extend a national program to operate beyond 2027.
This is having an impact not just on agriculture, but it's having an impact on the Queensland health system through residents that are bitten by fire ants that are then got to present to health departments and then the ongoing treatment that's required. It's affecting building codes. It'll affect tourism and the environment. So this pest is one of the most invasive pests in the world. It's one that we can't afford to lose the battle on.
Property research group Cotality says property prices are far outpacing income, with values reaching record levels.
O'Reilly Auto Parts puede ayudarte a revisar tu luz check engine, luz ABS o luz de mantenimiento con O'Reilly Veriscan. El servicio es gratis y recibirás un informe con soluciones verificadas por técnicos maestros certificados ASE. Si necesitas ayuda, O'Reilly Auto Parts te puede recomendar un taller. Pregunta por O'Reilly Veriscan hoy mismo. O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
The median house value is now 8.9 times the average salary, and for units, their median value is nearly 8 times the average income. The group says households must sacrifice around 45% of their income to pay their mortgages. The new data suggests both regional and metro markets are on par when it comes to the lack of affordable housing. Cotality's head of research, Eliza Owen, says more equity is now being used to purchase housing.
Home values in Australia and rent values have departed from where incomes are. And that's because of structural differences in our housing market over time that have allowed for higher investment, more equity to be used to the purchase of housing.
Cotality says while some steps have been taken to try and ease housing supply, tax reforms are needed to cool demand. And now in sport, Australia's Governor-General Sam Mostyn has announced Netball Australia's 10-year plan to grow its reach even further. Among the plan's key goals is to double netball's playing and non-playing community from 1 to 2 million by 2035, maintain the Diamonds world number one status, and make netball as Australia's most popular women's sports league. Netball Australia is seeking a $10 million loan from private investors to underwrite the plan. Ali Tucker Munro, who leads Netball Australia's new First Nations Culture Council, says amplifying the sport's impact and legacy involves unlocking diverse talent.
It comes back to opportunity. It comes back to some of those systemic structural barriers that also exist in our sport. And so I think with the work that we're looking at doing from a strategic point of view is actually identifying them and defining them.
And now for today in the weather, Darwin is seeing clouds at 33. Alice Springs is seeing thunderstorms at 36. Brisbane is seeing thunderstorms at 32. And Cairns is seeing some cloud cover at 33. Sydney is seeing winds increasing at 36. Newcastle, much the same, winds increasing at 35. Canberra is also windy at 27. Albury-Wodonga is seeing damaging winds and thunderstorms at 26, and similar for Melbourne, with severe warnings for thunderstorms and damaging winds at 21, while Hobart is seeing light rain at 19. Adelaide is partly cloudy at 21, Perth is cloudy at 24, and Broome is seeing clouds increasing at 34. That wraps up the latest in news, sport and weather. You're listening to NITV Radio. You're back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Coming up later on the show, we talk with Dan Munro. He works with Biyunga, a local community-run organisation over there in Redfern, encouraging men and mob around there to communicate and join a safe space together. And then also Wangata content creator Ben Stubbs. He's been named a finalist for TikTok Creator of the Year later on. And NITV Radio's Luana Grant talks with him and his rise to TikTok fame. But up next is a conversation with Justin Biles. He's the head of operations at Mob Ready, an Indigenous GTO, working with community. Have a listen to this. You're listening to NITV Radio. I'm Nari Pakai, and today we're chatting with Mob Ready. It's a socially inclusive group training organisation offering trainee and apprenticeship opportunities for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Here today on NITV Radio, we're talking with Justin Biles, Head of Operations at Mob Ready. Thanks for jumping on and having a chat with us, Justin.
No, thanks for reaching out. Keen to yarn.
Can you give a little introduction to yourself? Who are you? Who's your mob? Where are you from?
Yeah, of course. So, my name's Justin Biles. My Biles mob are from Nambar country, Brewarrina, out in northwest New South Wales. But I obviously grew up on Gubbi Gubbi country up in the Sunshine Coast of Queensland and Dungudi country on the mid-north coast. I'm living on Darug country here now in western Sydney and, head of operations at Mob Ready.
Can you get into telling us what Mob Ready is? What is it that you fellas do?
So we are still only about 3 years old now. But we're an Aboriginal owned and operated group training organisation. So as you said earlier, we do traineeships and apprenticeships for our mob, working directly with employers across industries to connect our mob with sustainable employment, but doing it through apprenticeships and traineeships. So they're not just getting a job, they're also getting education at the same time. And then we also do various other programs around employment and mentoring for our people as well.
You're certified by Supply Nation and recently nominated for one of the awards at the New South Wales Indigenous Chamber of Commerce. What is it about what you do that's really impacting community?
I think for us, because we're not government funded, so everything we do is very tailored and by mob for mob. With our traineeships and apprenticeships, we're not just placing our people into a job and see you later. We also provide that wraparound mentoring and support. So, whether you're struggling at work, you're struggling with your course, or you're struggling at home, you have a dedicated mentor to be able to help you through those situations. So I think for us, it's more of that wraparound support rather than just a dump and leave. We're Sydney based, so we have an office in Blacktown and North Sydney, but we cover all of New South Wales, ACT, and most recently kicked off in Queensland as well.
Can you tell us what are the programs that Mob Ready does that you implement in all the different states?
So our one across all three states is our GTO, so the apprenticeships and traineeships across every industry, whether it's electrical or childcare, hospitality, yeah, you name it, we support it. But then we also have like pre-employment programs, mentoring services. In Western Sydney, we have a program for our men coming out of incarceration, and we actually co-design that with lived experience, local community, the elders, the organizations, even some of the correctional facilities as well. And then we also have Journey to Success, which is a program for our young mob in high school as well.
What does it look like to be a part of Mob Ready? For example, the high school program?
Yeah, of course. So Journey to Success is our kind of core service or key service we do in high school. And that was a program we co-designed last year with a local school in Sydney. And that's for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students in high school. And it's all about one, school retention, but also if not school, then what else? While also focusing on what's after school. What we do is we go through all the different industries, their pathways. It's a interactive program, so there's no PowerPoints or slideshows. It's fully interactive hands-on activities where they get to actually meet different industries as well. And then through that program, we also do things around, you know, your well-being, your hygiene, communication, resume building, interview prep, cultural identity, like that full wraparound approach. And then after they complete the program, we also offer to support them into work experience as well in their chosen industry. So that's one of our newer programs, and we're looking into getting some funding or sponsorships to be able to kick that program off statewide across New South Wales as well.
O'Reilly Auto Parts puede ayudarte a revisar tu Luz Check Engine, Luz ABS o Luz de Mantenimiento con O'Reilly Veriscan. El servicio es gratis y recibirás un informe con soluciones verificadas por técnicos maestros certificados ASE. Si necesitas ayuda, O'Reilly Auto Parts te puede recomendar un taller. Pregunta por O'Reilly Veriscan hoy mismo. O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is not only a program that you're doing, you're going into places to provide training and mentorship, but you're also doing work with the partnerships with the employers in the industries that you work with. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're working with these non-Indigenous employers?
Yeah, of course. Look, our vision for Mob Ready is that we want to see everyone walking together as one community. And to be able to do that, we need the broader community to be supporting us and working with us on this journey. So we do work with quite a large cohort of different industries and employers. We do have a few other Supply Nation certified businesses we work with, but a lot of our employers are mainstream. So we actually work with them first by making sure that our values align and that, you know, they are culturally safe for our people before we work with them. And then working with them to, you know, if they need cultural awareness training first, we'll sort that out as well. Otherwise, just connecting them with community, whether that's through traineeships, apprenticeships, pre-employment programs, or through the school program. It's just working with them with a tailored approach.
For people who want to get involved in Mob Ready, how do they go about engaging with you? What does it look like to work with Mob Ready?
Yeah, of course. So we are quite active, you know, it's 2025. So we're quite on, you know, social medias, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or even on our website as well. We've just done a full upgrade on our website. So you can jump on, either send us a message on social media or submit an inquiry on our website and we'll reach out.
You not only do mentorship and traineeship, but you also deliver other services like cultural competency.
Yeah, of course. So with the cultural awareness training for that's more for the mainstream employers. That session is all around the employment and retention of our people. And it's also delivered by an elder as well. So it's talking about, you know, the employment barriers, the retention piece, creating a culturally safe workplace, all of that as well. And of course, that session is completely tailored to each employer's needs. We do the pre-employment programs where we'll work, if an employer is looking for 10 to 15 people, we can do a program where we actually design it with units of competency, but also life skills for our people. And then, yeah, the RISE project in Western Sydney for our men coming out of the system.
So the year is wrapping up for 2025. What does Mob Ready look like for 2026?
Yeah, look, we're very, very excited for 2026. In the last 12 months alone, we've had about a 4,500% growth across New South Wales, ACT and Queensland. So looking at that growth, whether it's, you know, the new programs, new team or new initiatives, we're very, very excited for 2026. And there's definitely some big things coming. So it's definitely a watch this space for little old Mob Ready.
And for people wanting to get in contact with Mob Ready, is there an email list? Is it just contacting through the website? How can people stay in contact with Mob Ready?
Yeah, of course. So again, yeah, we post weekly updates on our social media. Otherwise, you can submit an inquiry on our new website, whether you're an employer or just Mob looking for work. You can submit an inquiry on there. Otherwise, you can contact us on info@mobready.com.au or call us at 1300 621 900.
I want to thank you for joining us today, Justin.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
That was Justin Biles, Head of Operations at Mob Ready. You're listening to NITV Radio. Wangarta content creator Ben Stubbs has been named a finalist for the TikTok Creator of the Year, marking a major milestone in a journey that began with simple, everyday moments shared from his home in Western Australia. His rise from Kalgoorlie to more than 570,000 followers reflects the power of authenticity, community and culture in the online space. NITV Radio's Luana Grant caught up with Ben ahead of the TikTok Awards that's happening this evening to yarn with Ben about his rise to TikTok fame and what drives him to create content keeping Indigenous culture and values at the forefront. Have a listen.
My name is Benjamin Stubbs. I'm a Wangarta from Kalgoorlie, and my Aboriginal name is Wobbly.
And congratulations on your nomination for TikTok Creator of the Year. How does it feel to see your journey on social media to now be recognised on this level?
Oh, it's unreal. Still, like, it's just to be compared with such big, like, huge, amazing creators, like, and the journey I've been on, really, like, I never blew up overnight, just chipped away. Started with, like, football content and sharing my culture and then a little bit of family stuff, and I try to be funny. But, yeah, it's been a crazy journey, but it's just wicked to even be nominated against, like, some amazing creators, really.
And you've become known for redefining fatherhood and Indigenous pride online. What inspired you to put, like, these parts of your life at the centre of all of your content?
Just because, not just in media, but in general, people can have a bit of misconceptions about culture and even parenting or family life, and especially as young parents as well. I don't think it really gets shared enough, so I just wanted to, and, you know, my daughter makes me laugh, so, and she likes doing it, so we just have fun with it, really.
Was it hard to get her to get involved, or she was, like, all for it?
she wants to do it all the time now. There's days where she doesn't want to do it and we don't do it, but half the time she wants me to film a video, so we film something. But, we just try to capture most of the real stuff we do or just any fun things.
Can you explain how your culture and pride in your culture really influences the content that you create and that you want to actually share with your followers?
Well, like, I grew up in 2 hours from on a station out there, and we were lucky enough to be, like, practice cultural stuff all the time. So it was just naturally, like, people liked when we shared stuff, and it was funny stuff, and, you know, like, going out bush, doing little bits of things here and there, and dancing and stuff. So it was just pretty easy, really, to intertwine it.
And a big part of your following grew from your sense of community. What does community look like for you online and offline?
Yeah, well, like, online, I think that, like, you know, I don't really live, well, I'm very fortunate where I'm at now, but, like, I still you know, do the regular things and live in the regular houses that people operate in and do the regular things people do. And I think people just relate to that. And, yeah, that's the way really we just make community online, and just people love learning stuff and having a laugh. So if you can, like, crack those two things, it works really well.
And do you think your content's open doors to conversations around family and identity and parenting?
Yeah, of course. Like, even I'm not like the darkest skinned bloke, but I've like siblings who are. But it's just good because a lot of people, even if they're a little bit light skinned, they might not feel like they can celebrate their culture, and other people feel like they don't know what to do. But and I feel like me being able to share that online can make some people just feel comfortable. They can learn stuff. Have a laugh. So, yeah.
And what's it like balancing, like, your everyday life with the demands of being a creator and, you know, making sure that you've got content for all of your viewers?
Yeah, there's obviously days when, you know, you run out of ideas and stuff like that, but that's why I need to get better at planning. I kind of just go as it comes into your brain, which is kind of which is kind of lets me down a little bit, but, yeah. It's, you know, it's like definitely like they're way easier than working your normal job, but it's just, you know, obviously has those challenges where you just got to come up with new things all the time. But as long as you give it a little bit of time to brainstorm and that, it just naturally comes.
And how are you feeling about the TikTok Awards?
In general, this should be wicked. This is my second time going. I went 2 years ago and sat in the second last row, and I was like, one day I'm going to be up there. And then now, it's crazy to be like, I'm up for the main award, which is wicked as, but, yeah, I just, you know, I never really thought it'd be so big. I just always thought, like, I'm going to do this, and if I just keep posting and keep showing up, eventually it'll work out. But, yeah, the whole TikTok Awards and TikTok in general, like, they're wicked. The people that work at the place, like, they're real wicked, welcoming. But the whole event is just fun, like a just cool experience of being different faces with all meeting all these new creators and stuff. Like, it's really wicked.
And is there anyone that you're really excited to meet tomorrow?
Anyone that I haven't, a few is like a big Haveya, who's the Tongan fellow who's up for the award with me as well. It's pretty wicked to meet because, like, I followed him for eight. But, yeah, I'm sure there's people that haven't come to my head just yet, but they'll run into, and I'm sure I'll grab a photo with them and whatnot. But for the most part, yeah, I've met some pretty cool people recently.
O'Reilly Auto Parts puede ayudarte a revisar tu luz check engine, luz ABS o luz de mantenimiento con O'Reilly Veriscan. El servicio es gratis y recibirás un informe con soluciones verificadas por técnicos maestros certificados ASE. Si necesitas ayuda, O'Reilly Auto Parts te puede recomendar un taller. Pregunta por O'Reilly Veriscan hoy mismo. O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you do take home TikTok Creator of the Year, what would that mean to you and to your family?
Oh, it'd be huge, you know, like TikTok Creator of the Year. Like, it's not just like being nominated has already opened up so many opportunities already. But if you were to take out the award, like, that's a huge global impact, like the opportunities that or international opportunities that will open up as well, which would be crazy. But even being nominated, I'm like super grateful. But yeah, if I were to take it out, that'd be unreal.
And what's next for you? Do you have any new content directions or projects that you're excited about, or where do you want to go next?
Next is just bigger and better. I work well-oiled machine. I get a little bit of help. I just want to take it, like, to the next level in terms of just, like, video production, you know, just levelling up everywhere in general. But there's a lot of little few projects in the works that I can't quite share yet, but yeah, a lot of things coming.
Everyone will have to stay tuned. Sounds like there's a lot coming up for you, and good luck for the award tomorrow, and I might catch up with you there as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Biyunga is a local community-run organisation in Redfern that encourages men to communicate and join their safe space. Dan Munro is a Wiradjuri Gomeroi man raised on Gadigal country and created Biyunga as he felt there was not enough strength-based initiatives for men. He speaks with NITV Radio's Dante Brex earlier this year as they celebrated men and everyone who's in their lives by having a community event for families. Have a listen to this.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us here today. We're joined by Dan Munro. So, Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and a little bit about yourself, why don't you?
Yeah, yum, everyone. My name is Dan Munro, a proud Wiradjuri Gomeroi man, born and raised on Gadigal country. Grew up in the areas of the inner city and inner west of Canterbury and Redfern and Waterloo. Yeah, so I'm here today to talk a little about Biyunga. Biyunga is an Aboriginal men and father program that we've started about a year or two ago now. And I'm here today to just talk briefly about what we do and thanks for the opportunity to do this talk today.
And so you spearhead Biyunga. It's an Aboriginal-led fathers program. So how did it come about and what do your fellas do in the program?
Growing up in the areas of Redfern and Waterloo, a lot of my friends, including myself, grew up in a single mother household. And as I got a little bit older, I had an opportunity for my cousin to apply for a job at AMS in Redfern. And since then, I've been working in health for over 20 years now and going to courses and health promotion. I'm currently doing my master's in public health as well. Being in a position, I've noticed that there weren't a lot of father programs or men's programs, in, as you can say, growing up. And we do have some men's programs at the moment, but there weren't much about that were targeting fathers or supporting men in that area. And having my daughter, who's six now, and I noticed that at the hospitals, there weren't much information or guidance of first-time dads. And I've been thinking about it for a while before that. And now, being a first-time dad, I thought it was a great opportunity to not wait around and wait for someone else to do one, do a program or do something for our community. And me working in that environment in health and qualified, but, got the lived experience as well, too. I thought it was a great opportunity to start our own program. And that's how it all started. And with my cousin of mine, Phil Williams, and Philip Orcher, one of the close friends of mine that we've got together and started it and been running for about 2 years now. But more importantly, probably more often, about another year, over a year now as well.
And so, like, what do you guys do in the program? Do you guys meet up, or can you tell us a little bit about that?
As my experience, I noticed that a lot of the boys, there weren't nothing available to, get together on a regular basis. And we get together every fortnight, Wednesday nights, provide a safe space where fathers and men can come together, just basically talk and utilise it, get together and use it as an outlet to, speak on those, important topics that we can't really speak about, who are, maybe not confident to speak about with their partners, but are more confident to get together in an environment where other men can, empower one another and communicate and then deal with their emotions and their distress.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's very important to have these community organisations. I must imagine it's a great feeling when everyone from community gets around a program like this, but what's your favourite kind of part of it?
Yeah, for me, it was actually starting something. I felt like it was very important for someone from the community too. I feel like that gets underestimated sometimes. A lot of the men know me personally. They know they can actually talk to me on a regular basis, even out of work hours as well. And they know my background. They know my work experience. But, just starting something, brother, it was this. And then noticing over a few weeks, over the time, a lot of the boys started to come more. And that was something that made me feel proud, knowing that, the boys are willing to come now and beat the benefits from it. That was something I really, and reflecting on that, and that actually meant a lot to me and makes me feel proud to be be a part of it. We did this together as well too, brothers. I didn't want to do a program where I want to, you know, give a structure around the boys, but I want them to be part of it from the beginning and let them have a voice as well. And I do a lot of stuff what they want to do as well. And but they are definitely a lead, not just a lead of it, but a part of it, a strong part of it as well.
Yeah, sounds like there's some good stuff there. And you talked about the benefits of the program. So what do you think the fellas who are part of this program get out of it? You know, what brings them to these sessions, do you think?
The whole purpose of it as well, too, is just there's a lot of programs that target services for our women. And, you know, that's very important for us, you know, for our women and our mums. And, you know, they're the matriarchs and always will be. And I just felt like just giving us something for us men to, you know, just to get together and empower them and let them know that, you know, for a men's perspective and men's business that, you know, we got a important role as men, you know, to support not just our women but our families as well, you know, and doing cultural connection, talk about fatherhood and identity, parenting skills. You know, we don't get that opportunity as much, you know, in an environment where a lot of us men just only get together, you know, on a one-off basis, environments like, you know, at a pub. Besides that, there's not many positive spaces that we can get together without that, you know. And providing that and talk about our mental health and well-being, family relationships, I feel like that's very important for us. And and I feel like it's a great opportunity for us now to sort of, you know, commit to it, and we're here for the long run. Yeah,
Bayinga definitely feels like the space to be able to do that. And tomorrow, there's a big event happening right on the eve of Father's Day. So what can our listeners expect out of it?
Yeah, so we did our first one last year. And, you know, it's, you know, another one that, you know, I felt like was an opportunity to celebrate our dads, you know, and not forget about, you know, a lot of our matriarchs, our women, you know, raise a lot of our kids as well, you know. But, you know, just putting a shine a light on the boys and let them know that, you know, they are a big part of that in our environment as men and fathers. And we don't like the attention a lot. We want a lot of attention, but we do love our kids, you know, and love our partners and love our families. And I just want to give them a little celebration. And we did that one last year. We had a walkabout barber to come along and cut the boys' hair and their sons. We had Aiden to do the hair braid for the boys and their daughters, and had a feed for the families and their partners as well. And it's pretty simple, you know. We're doing the same again this year. And, I'm pretty excited about it. And, yeah, just get together for a couple of hours and celebrate Father's Day. And the next day, obviously, is Father's Day on the 7th. But I thought it'd be a great opportunity to do it the day before, where we can spoil the boys for 2 days, you know. Yeah, it's good.
Sounds like a place to be tomorrow, eh? And how can people get involved in Bayinga if it's not just for tomorrow but in general?
We're a community-led program. It's open for everyone in the community. You know, we'll never knock back anyone, none of the boys or the men who want to be part of it and come along. They're always welcome. Yeah, so they can come anytime, reach out on our social Instagram, or they bump into me in the streets. They can, you know, let them know when it's on and be part of it. Yeah, every fortnight, every Wednesday night. Bayinga, it's a word that means father in Gadigal language. And I feel like that's very important to have a strong connection with that as well. And yeah, very, very proud of the men who are, you know, coming through the journey, and, you know, walk side by side and help one another out.
Dan, thanks so much for joining us today, and I honestly hope the weather stays nice and beautiful for you and all the other fathers and all the other family down there.
Yeah, thanks, brother, and thanks for the opportunity to yarn about our program, and appreciate your support and love, and love all back to you as well.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.